Rockstar, who does the science programs now. And at the moment, one of the big focuses in astronomy at the moment is there've been a few new satellites sent up that are like cameras and what do you call them? Not telescopes. So telescopes, cameras that are up flying about in space. And the reason they're deep space telescopes, so they can see way, 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 way across the universe. And the key thing they're looking for, they're now able to spot planets. So there's now a whole list of planets they've identified across our solar system and beyond. The key thing that they're looking for is water. That's what they're developing these to search for water, because what they see is the single and key sign of life anywhere in the universe is where you find water. And so therefore, what we see here at that very beginning of creation, you know, these scientists have come up with this now, and that's what they're looking for, that's their process. But there it is, right, very first couple of verses of Genesis, and it's right there. The very first thing you need for life is water. Absolutely fundamental. If we then jump forward just a few years to Genesis chapter 22. So in Genesis chapter 22, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 6. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord of God, the holy prophets, sent his angels to show us the servants, the things he must shortly be done. So here we have right at the end, so jumping right from Genesis 1, right to Revelation 22, and here we are talking again about the river of life, the waters flowing out from the city. And when it refers to the waters, it's like a spring, so it's like a spring that's coming out. And one of the things that struck me was the fact that it was quite strange, because if you think about how a water system works on the planet, it rains, water lands in the hills, various places, soaks into the ground, comes up in springs, comes down streams into rivers and out into the sea. But here what we find is, right at the beginning, God created the seas, and then the spring appears right at the end of time, which is almost like kind of back to front. But when it says about the springs of water coming out, there's a couple of things in it. And what it talks about is making us clean. It says, blessed are those that wash their robes in the stream. And doing that, what it says is this gives them the right to enter the city and access the tree of life. So if anybody likes Tomb Raider, anybody like the Tomb Raider films, or watch the Tomb Raider films, and there's one of them is actually called the Cradle of Life. So they're actually looking for that source. It's a search for that source. And that's what that's talking about, is that in the city of God, at the end of our time on this earth, will be that spring of the water of life, the very source of the water that brings life. So what we have is, in the beginning, we have that support for physical life. And at the end, we have that river that will transform us from the physical to the spiritual. But where we're living is in the part in between. So what's the impact of that river of life, or the water of life? How does that impact in our lives now? Because we're not at the beginning, we're not at the end. We're in between. And that's what I want to look at. That bit in between is where we're living now. So how is that river? It's quite clear it's there at the beginning to start life, it's there at the end to convert. What does it do for us now? So looking at what what the river of water of life is. So first thing is, when it talks about the river of life, it's a word, potamos, which means drinkable running water, a torrent, abundant waters. So it's about giving life to the full. It gives us fullness, it gives us blessing, it gives us opportunity. So look at the fullness first. The fullness it gives us is the depth of the water. It's immersive. Through the Holy Spirit, it says, know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And the fullness means to accomplish, to carry out duties. So do you know what your duties are? Being immersed in that water is carrying out your duties. It's carrying out that call in your life. That fullness that comes from accomplishing those things. What's God's purpose for your life? What do his teachings say? Are you obeying those teachings? So how full is your life? How full could your life be? Could it be more full? Could we be seeking more God's purposes for us? Is there things in his teachings that we're not doing that we could be doing? The more that we do these things, the more that we experience that fullness of life. We then have the blessing, and this is the flow of the water. So when water flows, it gives us blessing. In Genesis, it tells us, you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And that's where the flow of that water of life is. It's when we bless each other. Because when you bless someone, you're passing on that flow of life. And it said, to bless, one of the definitions, it's an act of adoration. What we do when we bless someone, we're encouraging them. We're making them feel good. So you think about, what is it that makes you feel good? What do people do that makes you feel good? Then that's what you should be doing to others. So it takes us back to the do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Whatever people do that makes you feel good, that encourages you, then that's what you should be doing for other people. And that creates that flow. As we do that, that's like the water of life flowing through us and passing that blessing on. We then have opportunity. And this is the direction of the water. Opportunity, it says, is to do good. That's Galatians 6:10. Opportunity is doing good. So we need to look at what good can we do. That's what we're able to do. What are you able to do? What's possible? So that's the first thing we need to look at. What are the things that we can do? The second thing is what we should do. And that's what is right, what is moral, what is instructed. What are the things that we should be doing? Are we doing those things? If not, why not? And examples right through scriptures of what those things are. Anything that's in scripture that instructs us is what we should be doing. It might not always apply to us. It might not always be the right time. It might not be something we have the ability of. So we need to sift that out. But within the realms of what we can do, we then need to look at what we should do. And then following on from that, we have to ask ourselves the question, what do we do? So if we know what we can do, what we're capable of, if we know what we should do, then we need to look at what we actually are doing. And if it's what we can and should do, then great. If it's not, then we need to look at that. And that's where we need to put in the effort to do what we should be doing. And that's the reality of how we allow that water of life to flow. It's when we get to the point where we're doing what we should be doing that allows that flow. So when water flows, what it does is it provides power. If you think about a hydroelectric power station, that's how they work. So you have two levels of water. The water's allowed to flow down from the upper level to the lower level, goes through a turbine, and it generates power. And that's what happens when we allow that water of life to flow among us. It generates power. And that power does three things. It moves us, it develops us, and it grows us. So in moving, we become active. moving talks about active life. Are you being active in your faith? Are you being active in your duties? Are you being active in the teachings of Christ? We need to be moving to be active. When we do that, we will then develop. Practice makes perfect. So we develop through the activeness. The more active we become, the more we're going to develop. And as you develop, that creates growth. As we develop, you think about a child growing up. As the child grows, develops its skills and abilities, and that creates the growth. That's what turns a child into an adult. Unfortunately, via the teenage years for parents. But what wood doesn't do, it never stands still. Flowing water never stands still. It keeps flowing. And that's why we need to look and see, are we moving? Are we developing? Are we growing? Or are we standing still? Because we need to be doing the first three. And if we do the first three, they're certainly not going to be doing the last. We then have the elements of the water. And the water of life, the word that's used is Zoe. And it talks about physical presence, spiritual presence. It talks about existence. And the element of water is that it gives life, not death. It's positive, it's not negative. Now, I know if you think about a tsunami, yeah, it can have destructive power, but the water of life is a flowing water that brings life and brings positivity. And it's a bit like, I was thinking about the phrase, you know, which monsters do you feed? If you think it in terms of monsters, having monsters in your life, which monsters are you feeding? What are the habits that you feed? Good habits, that's great, because that's the positivity. That's where you're giving life. Bad habits, what you're doing is feeding the monster of death. That's bringing death. It's bringing negativity into your life. And that's our habits. So the more that we feed these habits, then the more that we feed either that positivity or negativity. But the water of life only brings the positivity. The other thing it says about the water as an element is it's clear as crystal. In Revelation, the word that's used is crystallos, which means either an ice or a rock crystal. So that would be if you think about an ice cube or the frost in your car in the morning, that sort of sparkly, shiny substance. Or a rock crystal would be like a jewel. So you think about a precious jewel, there you've got your rock crystal. But the characteristics of these are firstly that it's clear. They're clear. They're clear substances. So light, you might not necessarily be able to see through them, but they can certainly pass through light. And that speaks about being honest. You need to speak the truth. And speaking the truth is a crucial part of being in that flow of the water of life, is to always be honest. Not just with other people, but with yourself as well. The other thing it implies is an openness. It's open. And our faith should be visible, not hidden. As it says, the light shall shine, you not place it under a bushel. I was having a conversation just at the end of the week, and somebody was asking what I was doing this weekend. And without even thinking about it, I just said, oh, I'm speaking at church on Sunday. Oh, what are you speaking about? And we then get into a conversation about the topic that I'm talking about. So just that openness can create opportunities to share our faith, to share that positivity with people. The third element of that is about being approachable. Okay, so these things, it's about the attractiveness. These things are, so the ice crystals, ice formations, precious jewels, they've got an attractiveness to them, which makes them approachable. People want to go and look at them. And that's what we should be like. If that water of life is flowing through us, then we should be approachable. Firstly, that means that we should be able to approach Jesus because he's approachable. So we should come to him with boldness. And through that, he inspires in us confidence and trust. And if we have that same approachability towards others, then we will inspire trust and confidence in them to be able to approach us. So that's something that we need to look at ourselves in relation to whether that water of life is flowing through us. Are we approachable? Do people find it easy to approach us? Is there something about us that maybe puts them off? And consider that. And again, like I mentioned earlier, thinking in terms of what do you find that makes someone else approachable? Then maybe apply that to yourself. And we look at that element of shining of the precious stones, the crystals that it talks about. They've got an attractiveness. And attractiveness, it says in Titus 2, verses 7 to 10, is about being an example of good deeds. And if we are an example of good deeds, then what it does is it makes the teaching about God attractive. And I thought, how do we portray church? So we're talking to people, how do we portray Cornerstone? Think about the conversations that you've had. Do we make it sound like a chore? So somebody's, what you're doing tonight, oh, got a prayer meeting on tonight, I'd rather a night in, but should really go to the prayer meeting. How does that portray us? Or do we make it sound attractive? Do we make it sound it's a place that you want to be, that it's fun, that it's enjoyable, that we find something in it that brings that positivity to our lives? It's how we portray that will affect how attractive people find the church. It also needs to be desirable. A good name is desirable, it says in Proverbs. If what we have looks good, so again, think about the gemstones, the ice crystals. If you've got something that looks good, people want to see it. If we had literally riches, silver and gold in our lives, would other people desire that? Of course they would. People would want what we've got. And that's how, if we are allowing that flow of the water of life through us, then what will happen is that we'll have that glow in our lives and people will be attracted to it and therefore they'll desire it. They'll start to want to have what we've got. And that gives us something to offer. I mean, Jesus spoke about the treasure. The Word of God is a treasure. It's there, and he said, wherever your treasure is, there also will be your heart. And what is the focus? What is it that's in our hearts? Is it our faith? Is it the Word of God? Is it our fellowship together? What is in their heart is what we'll talk about. So again, going back to like when I was being asked, what are you doing this weekend? So the first thing I said was that I was speaking here. As I said, I didn't particularly think about it. It just came out. But that was the first thing that I spoke about. And that should be really prominent in our life when we are having discussions with people. Our walk with God should be quite prominent in what we talk about. And that means that what we're doing is we're displaying something that we can offer to people. Another aspect of water is that it's reflective. And as I mentioned a couple of times about looking, what are the things that you see that you find attractive in other people, that you respect in other people? So there's that element of reflection. Look around and see the people that you admire in their Christian walk. What is it that you admire about them? Well, maybe you could be displaying that in your life and that make you attractive to someone else. So what we have is this flow of water, but interestingly, it's almost like it goes in the opposite direction because it starts at the collecting, the deep abyss, and it finishes with the spring where it originates from, which is not a problem if you're God because you're outside of time, so you can have things flowing backwards. But because it is flowing backwards, as we're going through life, it's almost as though we're moving through it against the flow. We're moving from where it ends up towards its source. And that means that we're traveling upstream, not downstream. And sometimes that can take effort. I don't know if anybody's ever done sort of rock scrambling through up a river. I did it. I was out helping a Prince's Trust team, and we did that. You to get into the river at the bottom and work your way up towards the top, and you're constantly fighting against that flow of water coming down. Now, wasn't it? Don't think of it like the Mississippi or the Amazon or anything like that. It was little more than a stream, because you're mainly climbing over the rocks, but there is that bit of flow of water, and you're fighting against that all the time. And sometimes that's what our walk feels like. And when you're really kind of in the deep parts of that, you can feel the strength of that flow coming against you. And that's the times where we're going against the flow, literally. We're going against the difficult times that we go through. But then there'll be points where you come in, where you get through the rapids and you get to a more restful part of the river. It's not flowing as strong, or you might even pass through a pool. And that's the times of rest and blessing. So it's like a journey, and it's almost like that the water of life is flowing through the world that we live in, through our life, our experience. We're traveling up it. But the reward is that as we travel up that, we're eventually going to get to its source. And that source is under the throne of God in the city of God. So as we travel on that journey, I just want to close with giving you a commendation that if you think about it in those terms, I just pray that you learn to live in the flow of that living water and enjoy the journey as we seek to find its source. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all of the teaching that you give us, for all of the blessings that you give us. And Father, I just pray that as we consider those words, as we think about how we enter into and how we travel through the water of life that we receive through your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to understand how to navigate it, and how to travel successfully in that journey that would lead us to the source, to that spring where it comes from. And Lord, as we travel through that, just give us the strength to fight the points where the river is powerful, but also the rest when we travel through the more peaceful parts. And encourage us, Lord, and help us to grow and to develop as we travel on this journey with you. So we just ask that your blessing be upon us. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.